Thank you for joining us. I'm with Dion Cole and Kelly Kali. They're the stars of the new film premiering at South by Southwest. I'm fine. Thanks for asking. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
So, Kelly, you're really the heart and soul behind not just filming the film, but coming up with it and developing it. Can you tell us a little bit about how the inspiration got started?
Well, this was developed with my team. So what happened was that in the middle of the pandemic, in the summer, I just woke up with this pressing need to make something. Like, it was just clear as day, I had to, no matter how to do it, I had to figure out, you know, how to take those steps. And so I called closest people to me, my co-director, Angelique Molina, our co-producer, Roma Kong, and Capella Fahoum, and of course, Dion, who's my writing partner, and let them know that, you know, we needed to make something. And so we discussed what's going on around us today. And I know that I've been seeing a lot more women out on the street lately. And we were facing, a lot of people were facing something called houselessness, where, you know, it's slightly different than homelessness. It affects even more people because it's those who are living from paycheck to paycheck, and the pandemic may have just knocked them off course, and they might end up on a friend's couch or a family member's couch or sleeping in their car, or maybe even in a tent. And this is something that we really wanted to address.
So do you see it more as a houselessness story of the pandemic, or do you see it an overall tale of homelessness that you could watch 2 years from now once all this is behind us?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's relatable in both aspects. Now, our character, Danny in particular, is houseless because she just got out of her other place so recently that she's able to fool her daughter into believing that they're just on a camping trip. And it's kind of maxing out at this point of natural camping, and her daughter is ready to go home. And so what the movie is the day that it takes for Danny to keep that promise and get them into that apartment. So she's making enough money. She's figuring it out. She's figuring out how to adjust to this pandemic as a hairdresser and going around braiding people's hair, doing post-pile deliveries, doing whatever it is she can. So she's capable. She just is just a little short. That's really the pain and frustration that this movie is exploring.
Mm-hmm. So Dion, you're sitting at home, you get the call from Kelly and she has a desire to do something. I'm sure you get all kinds of pitches thrown at you. What was it about this that you said, you know what, this is something I know you're writing partners, but what about this got you interested?
I mean, the storyline itself, I mean, everybody's going through something right now. And as far as the homeless population in LA is so crazy that, you know, it just spoke volumes to me, and it made me, you know, go, well, if we can't help everybody, maybe we can do something that'll reach the masses, that'll at least spark in their mind to help anyone who's dealing with that situation. You know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. So sure. Whatever you can do to help, you know, whatever you can do to help, please do. So that's what really sparked it for me.
Now, do either of you have any experience or friends that have experienced homelessness that you drew off of? Or is this more of a, this is what I'm going through in a pandemic, I'm fearing for my own stability, my own possibility for houselessness, and that's where I'm drawing from?
Well, I personally have a friend that I grew up with who's been homeless for a while. I think he just over the past couple of years, I think they went and got him and put him in a place or whatever, but he'd been homeless for decades.
Oh wow.
And that was hard on us to, you know, find him and chase him down and look for him and him not wanting to leave. Yeah, it was a whole ordeal that we dealt with.
Wow. And Kelly?
Yeah. Well, I grew up as a pastor's daughter, and so my dad's mission was to bring shelter to those in need. And I know that there has never been a time where I've lived in a house where it was just the nucleus family. if we had a couch, if we had an air mattress, if we had anything, somebody was staying with us. And so I grew up around people who were houseless, and it was my mom and dad who were giving them the footing that they needed just to save up that little bit of money to get back on their feet. So I saw it day in, day out, from affecting women to men to for whole families and all of that. And then with this pandemic, I felt it very closely because with the film industry, everything shut down. So we weren't able to pay rent for a while, for a few months. And if it hadn't been for the moratorium in Los Angeles, we might have been those people on someone's couch or, you know, or whatever it may be. But thank God our city was one that put the moratorium out on evictions. And thank God we were able to get back on track with work and such to catch up. But a lot of people haven't and aren't. And a lot of people in a lot of cities in the U.S. and around the world don't have that moratorium. Or you have slumlords who aren't abiding by it and still kicking people out and forcing them out and things of the sort.
Now, this was very much a pandemic-driven film, the way you approached it, the way you filmed it and everything like that. Had this been filmed 2 years ago, would it be a completely different film, or is this pretty much what you imagined regardless, this is what it came out to be? Were there any sacrifices or stuff that you, man, I wish this wasn't pandemic time that we could have done this or that?
No, I'm a firm believer in everything happens in, you know, divine order, how as it should. This is something that we had talked about, actually, whether or not we address the pandemic. But since we were guerrilling this, and, you know, when I spoke to the team, I said, we're going to have to Sean Baker this and Tangerine this, you know, and just get what we can. We knew that we were likely to catch people in the background that were wearing masks. So then we see this story could stand alone without a pandemic. There's people who've been facing these issues for a long time,
sure,
especially in Los Angeles. However, just addressing today's time and what's going on and the circumstances that we were under with the resources that we had and having to keep a small crew and having to keep it light and keep moving, we knew that we couldn't avoid revealing the pandemic around us and the world around us because everyone's wearing a mask. So we embraced it. And that's one of the things that I feel just as it should be. I think that it's more relatable that way.
And the pandemic was never even mentioned.
Never.
Like at all. So it definitely can stand its time, has the leg to stand because it was never mentioned. You saw a mask.
Yeah, you saw a mask, or like the landlord requested that she put her.
It was never mentioned at all. So it can stand on its own. I mean, without a pandemic, because it never was even mentioned. It was never brought up. It was just a day in the life. And, you know, the mask was just to let you know what time it was.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to look back 4 or 5 years from now and look at a film like yours and go, oh, yeah, back when we had to wear masks. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like we've automatically dated when films were released. Is it pre-mask or post-mask or during mask? But yeah. I really enjoyed the film. I had some grievances, but those were personal. Just a little bit about my background. I spent 3 years homeless and here in Minnesota. And for the last several weeks, it was in a tent. There's a lot of things that I could relate to. And so there's little things where it's like, okay, was that by design or is that having knowledge of homelessness and that's how it worked? And so there's a lot of things that really hit home to me that may or may not have been intentional or not. I found that the telling the daughter, you know, their situation, that was an interesting one because I was always been a believer that kids are highly perceptive and they know their situations. And even though they might not admit they realize what's going on, they know what's going on. So it was an interesting dynamic to have her believe that it was camping rather than, you know, their real struggles. But it was short enough time where a kid could likely believe it. But I thought the desperation, the treading water, that was a big thing that I experienced, where it's like every little thing you try to get ahead and Danny was constantly just behind and never getting that break. And the other thing I think is, and that was addressed, and I think it's going to frustrate some people, but some of Danny's choices. And I found those highly relatable because there's a struggle to fit in. There's a struggle to not want to feel what you're going through. You know, how many times do we have a 9-to-5 job where we go, you know, God, I can't wait to go home and have a drink. Yet to see Danny do something along those similar lines without giving anything away, you're like, well, that's a bad choice. What's she doing? And yet it's so many of us do that kind of stuff to as therapy. And when you don't have something in your rock bottom. So there's a lot of things that I think will frustrate some viewers, but at the same time, it's very realistic to kind of need an escape, to need to feel normal, to feel like that pain is gone. And so I think that's going to, it's going to throw some viewers, and others are going to see that. But I found it very relatable to some of my own experiences. I didn't have a kid or anything like that, but just that struggle, that treading water. There's a scene at the end that's just beautiful, and I can't really go into it, but there's an exhaustion that one feels after going through homelessness or houselessness for, you know, extended period of time, where it's just emotionally draining. And so once you're finally kind of, you know, I equate it to a ship pulling up and bringing you on board, and you're just exhausted laying there and you just want to just lose it. And so I thought that was that, without giving anything away, but kind of giving you a little bit of code. That was beautifully done. The fan, I do have a question about the fan without giving anything away. Was that just because LA is hot and that's the symbolicness of it? Or was there a deeper meaning to the fan? And it could just be a fan.
No. There was thought given to the fan. We wanted the heat to be a character in the film. There's quite a few films that inspired us. I know Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing, how heat was a factor. He's inspired a lot of us filmmakers. And I know that we were actually filming in the hottest heat wave of the summer. It just happened to be that. And symbolically, it was that Danny and Wes needed to cool down. They needed to not feel the heat, to feel the pressure of life, and they just needed a moment to cool down, literally.
Okay.
And so the fan had a lot of meaning. The heat was definitely intended as a character, as like oppressive. In fact, even in our coloring, we chose to go with a little cooler temperatures in the very beginning, and then after that point of attack happens, and you know what I'm talking about, where the problem begins, you'll see that it starts to warm up and we get into warmer, hotter colors to really hone in on the heat and the oppressiveness that Danny is feeling throughout this day.
Okay, interesting. I had a little bit different of opinion of it, just because it's been several years now. I ended my homelessness 2012. I became a critic in 2012. I still sleep with a fan right next to me. Minnesota, we were -23, and I have a fan. For me, it's the air movement, because once I got housed, I felt suffocated, and I needed to feel air around me, and it created a white noise. So even when it's -23 here in Minnesota, I'm with an electric blanket and a fan blowing about 3 feet away from me. So I wasn't sure if that was more symbolic or if I was looking into it just from my own experience, but I thought that was very relevant.
No, but that's very interesting. We were really excited to talk to you, because I saw that you had tagged us on Instagram and showed us where you had pitched your tent. And that was so just moving and impactful, and to be able to talk to a critic who really understands what this is and what we were trying to capture is extremely meaningful. And so to hear your take on the fan and hear what it means to you is exactly what we wanted the film to do, is to have people put themselves in these situations and hopefully we get a chance to hear how things like that impacted them and how it feels. I mean, even with the character Sam, we intentionally never said how he died.
No, you know,
because a lot of people right now are going through everyone has knows somebody somewhere that has lost someone during this time. And we want everyone to relate to that on their own. We don't want to tell you how you put it together. You relate to this. And so when that story and how the fan made you feel, it really means a lot to me as a filmmaker to hear that from your perspective.
Yeah, I didn't know if there was a deeper meaning for that, but it, for me, because I know a lot of people that have experienced homelessness, it's that deafening silence once you get housed, because in a tent or in your car, there's all these noises around you. And then you get into this mm-hmm. apartment and it's dead silent. So I didn't know if that was your deeper meaning or if it just hit me because of my own experiences, but I know several homeless people that use that are housed that use fans just to kind of break up that noise or that silence. So I thought that was interesting. Dion, the reason that you chose your character, and I'm not going to give his name because I want them to learn it as they go, even though it's readily out there. Was it the car? Is that what hooked you to that character, or why? I mean, there's only a few male parts, but I have to imagine the car might have had something to do with it.
Nah, it was just the fact that, you know, it just brought realism to it that she would be rolling around the neighborhood like that, nobody saying nothing. Plus, it brings an obstacle, and it brings an obstacle her way, you know, as far as choices to be made. And it's one of the choices. So, yeah, that was basically it.
Just to be able to write up. And no, that was a very kind of entertaining and kind of mood-breaking kind of scene that was kind of nice to kind of break it up. But I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I have some frustrations. I think there's a shot that's missing in the end that I'm pretty sure is not there that I really wanted to see, but... And I can't go into it, which drives me nuts. But
you could tell me privately on Instagram.
And I have to rewatch this to make sure that it's not there. But it was like, oh, that's the one thing that was missing. I'm a little nervous for the film because I think it's beautifully done. But there's so many people that want to judge other people that some of the behavior, I think, is going to turn people off to what she's going through. Without realizing that we do it ourselves, going back to the alcohol, you know, situation where, you know, how many of us say, I want to have a drink. I can't wait to go home and get high because I had a bad day at work. And we tend to forget what kind of life Danny is living. I think it's easier to judge her for some of that behavior. It's like, oh, she has, you know, X amount of time to get this done. And here she is. Doesn't she really care? And it's not that. It's escaped. It's, you know, homeless people, they shouldn't be buying soda or beer because it's, you know, they should be spending money other ways. And it's like, yeah, but sometimes you just want to feel normal. And I think there is an interesting dynamic for her to want to feel normal, to kind of escape her own misery. And mm-hmm. I found it, just from my own experience, very relatable that you don't go out and advertise what you're going through. That even when people are asking for you, the default answer is, I'm fine. And Hara thinks, oh, fine. Yeah. And so I thought the title matched perfectly for what you were trying to convey. But it really was a sense of treading water. And then we see it at the end where what happens when you don't have to tread water anymore. And so I found that very relatable. And I hope that people do give it a chance. I it's sad that it's premiering, you know, digitally where you can't go and enjoy it with a bunch of other people. But I thought it was really well done. I commend both of you on that project, especially knowing how it came about. I mean, this was a hodgepodge of you know, put together that the story might not have been told had it not been for the pandemic. So that's kind of an interesting knowledge. My final question for you, Kelly, is, you know, we often hear that women filmmakers, you know, there just isn't the resources out there. There isn't the, but you guys kind of broke the mold when it comes to that. Did the pandemic change how we're doing films? Is it making a little bit more even playing ground that someone like you can throw together something like this and make a feature film that's inspiring, that's well done, well put together, that might not have been able to do 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah, I think that the consciousness of Hollywood and what we perceive as standard filmmaking is shifting. I think that it's shifting for women, it's shifting for people of color, it's shifting for everyone really to have more stories that are different from what we're used to. So I think we're going to see more of this. I do think that it is the times that we're in that it's giving more opportunity and
great. Thank you. Well, I appreciate your time, and again, I highly recommend that people check out and Find Thanks for Asking, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.